The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we continue our study through the first epistle of Paul to the Church of God at Corinth. First a word of prayer, then find 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 20. Our Father in heaven, I come now in Jesus' name. I thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for this precious book, the Word of God, which we have now to preach to your people. Pray you would take the truth of your word, speak to our hearts in this day, deal with our sin, encourage our spirits, and Lord, give us strength to walk another mile for the glory of God. Help us to be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. I ask my prayer in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Find 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And I wanted to begin here in basically the middle of the chapter to remind us before we go through these verses that tongues are for a sign. We are dealing with one of the sign gifts, namely that of speaking in tongues, a sign not to the believer, but to the unbeliever. And then if you recall back up in verse 21, he says, in the law it is written. What law is Paul referring to? he is referring to the Old Testament portion of the Scriptures. And there it is written, "With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people." What people would Paul be referring to? Well, absolutely unto the Jewish people. Where is it recorded? It is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse number 11. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." What people? The Jews. What did Paul write in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 22? "For the Jews require a sign." And so as we entitled chapter 12, "The Early Way," and then in chapter 13, "The Excellent Way," we're looking now at the expedient way. Now we are still in that early time of the Church of God, and think back to chapter 13 with me. We think of verse 11. "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And so Paul plainly says, back in verse 8, "Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." And backing up to the first of that verse, "But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail." The early period of the Church of God, it was primarily Jewish there in the period of the book of Acts, leading up into the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And as time went on and the church became more and more predominantly Gentile, these sign gifts lost their use as ordained of God, as he was no longer calling out that remnant of Israel according to the election of grace, and therefore the sign gifts would no longer be necessary. They were temporary from the very beginning. God never intended on them to carry through this day in the age of the church and of the grace of God. And so God says very plainly, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, not for believers, not for saints, but to them that believe not, and even a step further, to unbelieving Jews. So I would ask the charismatics of our day, where are the unbelievers in your midst coming to God as a result of your speaking in tongues? But a step further, where are the Jewish unbelievers in your midst? As you think about tongues throughout the Scripture, if we were to take out, and I am not for this, but if you were to somehow receive a copy of the Word of God, and you did not have 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 in your New Testament, you would have very little to study about tongues. Tongues are mentioned in the New Testament, apart from these three chapters in Corinthians, very little. In fact, only in the book of Acts, and every time it is mentioned, there is some form or fashion of Jewish unbelief and unbelievers present and involved. You think back to the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 13. There Peter was preaching. He confronted the men of Israel, the Jewish nation, the Jews of the dispersion, the Jews of Jerusalem there, of the homeland, and they were charged with the crime of Calvary. And about, I don't know, what would it have been? If we could go back and count, we won't take the time now, but a dozen or more languages was known, represented in the crowd of Jews there, based off the different regions from which they had traveled for the Feast of Pentecost. But the entire scene is a matter of the Jews, of their unbelief, of Jesus, of his crucifixion, of his resurrection, of the Jews' rejection, and the nation's guilt being in view as they had crucified the Lord of glory. Then you skip from Acts 2 to Acts 10, and there we have the conversion of Cornelius, and now there is the incorporation or the bringing in of the Gentiles into the body of Christ, for of Jew and Gentile he will make of twain one new man. But in Acts 10, verses 44 and following, we find Cornelius' conversion, but again, tongues are involved. Why? Because the Jews and their prejudice against the Gentiles, they would not have received them, and so God gave a sign, an evident token, that this was of the power and will of God to convince the skeptical Jews and those in Jerusalem. Therefore, again, there is Jewish unbelief. Acts 11 continues the story when Peter comes back, and there are Pentecostal signs, including tongues, that accompanied his preaching in the house of Cornelius, Acts 11, verses 15 through 17. Why? To convince unbelieving Jews. Then you find it again, I believe it is, what, Acts 19? There we find Paul near Ephesus, and he meets certain disciples, disciples of John the Baptist. They were ignorant of truth concerning Christ and the Holy Spirit. God used Paul to instruct them, and the Holy Spirit enlightened them. They were baptized. Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they what? Spake with tongues and prophesied. Sign gifts, the early days, the childhood stage of the church. How many were there? 12 of these were there. And the whole thing surrounded around Jewish unbelief. Tongues are for a sign to Jewish unbelievers. A fulfillment of Isaiah's words where it is written. And so as the church progresses, as the canon of the Word of God progressed and would be completed, there would be no need for these sign gifts. Now, let us briefly look back to our chapter 14, and let's begin reading with verse number 1, and then we'll skip all the way to the end of the chapter to bring today's broadcast to a close. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And so he's going to establish the truth that prophecy is the expedient way. The last verse, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.